at the Minmatar Republic Research Institute are always striving to find ways of making space travel safer. We don't only do research work here at the Institute, we have some of the most experienced engineers in the Republic, who provide award-winning lectures and courses for training the next generation of engineers.
Now, class, a particularly effective way for patching a hull breach is to grab an umbrella, then take it over to the hull breach and simply open it. With any luck, it will be just the right size to patch the breach. Now, not only will this help plug the gap, but in many cases you will find a repair is actually stronger and more airtight than the original hull.
For those of you who can't attend one of our seminars in person, why not order one of our handy technical manuals, such as Fixing Electronics by Hitting It, Hull Tanking with Duct Tape, Drywall as an Armor Substitute, and the all-time bestseller, How to Weld Rust. So when you're out in space, remember you're flying a scrapyard, not a tomb.
Hello and welcome to the non-award-winning Warp Drive Active podcast. Yes, folks, we lost to Pandemic Legion. But, well, to be honest, you know, the pen is mightier than the sword, perhaps. Or in our case, the blaster is definitely mightier than the Sound Forge. So, yeah, perhaps it's better off we didn't win. I am Urban Mongrel. I am the Sasha Panzer to the real star of the show, the Don Quixote of Warp Drive Active, Mr. Winterblink.
Oh, my God. Hi! How are you doing? So we lost... Oh, yeah, there was that one category where Pandemic Legion was up. How did that work?
Well, they were the best newcomer, and for some reason they were counted as newcomers. And we didn't win. But I feel proud that we didn't in any way try and skew the result. You know, we just left it up to the folks to decide. And, you know, I think our honesty, you know, really shone through in that.
Yeah, indeed. In retrospect, perhaps not the best strategy for winning. But very cool nonetheless to be nominated for all those awards. It was pretty awesome.
You were nominated for two, weren't you? Two other ones.
I thought it was like, yeah, something like three or four, which is cool. But I'm just saying, I think it's really cool that to even get nominated. I'm not, congratulations to the winners. That's pretty awesome stuff. But you were there.
Yeah, I was there. I couldn't hear a bloody thing because they didn't have a PA in the pub.
Well, somebody was trying to scream over legions of drunk E-fans or something, or what? What's the deal?
Pretty much, yeah. I think Kribber won quite a few, which I think everybody listening should totally agree with that, because the man is a hero.
Very, very well deserved. The guy is excellent.
Yeah, so congratulations to absolutely everyone who won an award. And Verone won a couple. You should have seen Verone at the party. It was so funny. Because like everyone was putting like name stickers on him. Right? And at one point in the evening, he was everybody from Knutsman to T20 with Over, Ginger Magician, Sir Molly, Remedial... Who else have we got along the way? Stavros along the way.
Oh, man.
I must say, first time I've ever met Verone, solid gold chap. Seriously, good bloke. Nice
cool.
Guy.
Yeah, that's... You guys are lucky he's not allergic to adhesive or something.
He's certainly not allergic to alcohol with the amount he was knocking back.
I think that pretty much precludes you from being an E-fan or something, if you are, because, wow, yeah, drinking is the name of the game.
And so, hi to absolutely everybody I met at the London Eve piss-up. It was absolutely superb, it was great, great fun, and, yeah, can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, it must be nice. I wish I could have gone, but unfortunately, the stars were not aligned.
I hate to say this one, I got this from Richie. Some people kind of missed the point in the Philly one. They thought they were going to go to the like pub to play Eve or something, so they brought their laptops and stuff.
Oh, wow. wow. Well, yeah, actually, oddly enough, this was something that came up at the FanFest last year, was that I caught the odd person wondering why there was only like two workstations available to log in and do stuff with. And it was like, dude, you don't fly all the way to Iceland to play Eve. I mean... unless you're competing in the tournament that they do there. But yeah, get a beer, have some fun, chat, socialize, play the game when you get back home, you know?
But yeah, you know, there were people crying that they were missing skills and stuff. My skill point needs to be changed.
Oh, what are you losing? Like 100 skill points, maybe? Like, come on. I know it's more than that, but still, I mean, it's not. God, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, seriously, have a beer and relax if that happens to you, or at the very worst, ask CCP politely to hurry up with EVE Mobile.
Yeah, that's been on the drawing board for. Well, it's not actually them doing it, right? It was the someone at the University of Iceland or something. I don't know, some kind of. Maybe it's the Reykjavik DeVry Institute chapter or something that was doing that one. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Who?
Never mind. But no, it wasn't CCP actually doing the.
Wikipedia, DeVry Institute? Calgary's DeVry Institute of Technology, is that it?
Yeah, it's all over the place, though.
This is a very, very boring sidetrack. Back to EVE.
Yeah, I was about to say, what the hell are you doing, dude? Oh, man.
I thought it might have been a secret evil society with plans of world domination.
More like a really chintzy technical community college type thing from the States and stuff. It's pretty bad. But anyway.
That's why I said dorks will never take over the world, will they?
Indeed.
They're far too busy bit-torrenting porn.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, but, I mean, how was it? How was the venue? Because you played this up in a huge way in the episode prior to the whole London meet. So how was the venue? What was the name of the place again in London?
Oh, now you're asking. I can't remember. You bastard. Quick, look on the forums. I had been there before, by the way. And yeah, very nice it is too. Just quick scroll down through the forums. It was some place in Fulham. The Durrell Arms on the Fulham Road, that's right. Yeah, I had been there before. It's very close to the MMM publishing offices, right? So, presumably, it's their local for going and having a beer.
Right.
Yeah, it's a really nice pub. Lots of interesting things to drink. Stavros drank most of the things at the bar, to be honest. You met Stavros, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yeah, no, I think I have. God, I can't recall now. Oh, my God. It'll come to me.
Well, when he gets drunk, he talks much, much faster and even more Mancunian. So there was just like he was going on a sort of mad, random thing, and just nobody in the entire bar could have a clue what he was saying.
That's pretty bad, because I think for the most part it's hard to understand what the hell he's saying half the time. But yeah, Mancunian? What the hell does that mean?
Person from Manchester.
Okay. I know what Manchester is, but Mancunian?
Yeah, well, what would you call an inhabitant of Manchester?
Perhaps just that, an inhabitant of Manchester. I don't know, a Manchesteranian? I have no idea.
Manchesteranian. Oh, Canada has just been war-decked by the North.
Ooh, we're so scared. Great Big Ocean scare you, UK guys. No, I don't know, but, it sounds like it was a fun time, though. I wish I had gone. At the very least, the Philly one. But I don't know. I haven't heard anything from many people about the Philly one yet, so I have no idea how awesome that one was.
Richie said he had a great time there. It was great fun. Anyway, back to the London gig. Apart from me, there were lots of big celebrities there. Angel was there. You know, XX Angel XX?
Mm-hmm.
As I met her, she was very, very cool, and, you know, had a good chat with her about Triumvirate very, very nearly winning the tournament and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Yeah, had a long chat with Fortuna 5.
Oh, yeah? What's she up to?
Doing sort of stage acting these days and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Very cool. For those who might not know, Fortuna 5 was involved in EVE TV when they first kicked off. She was doing some of the interviews and then the new player experience as well, right? If I recall correctly. They were doing quite a few things.
Let's see, Stevie was there?
Mm-hmm.
Although I didn't get a chance to talk to her because she was surrounded by hordes of admiring fans, as you'd expect.
it's hard being Stevie.
Mindstar was there, aka James W. So had CCP presence, which is cool.
Awesome.
again, I didn't get to talk to him very much because, you know, he just got surrounded by people just complaining about things, as you'd expect.
Both
and he's like, you know, I'm QA, I'm not game design, I can't unnerf armor.
So what you're saying is both Stevie and Mindy were surrounded by men?
The number of girls there was better than a normal Eve meet, but still not exactly impressive.
Well, you did catch the whole Mindy thing that happened on the forums, right? No. There was this one thread that went, it was on for about 2 days, and it was like the devs went insane in this thread, and the whole thing was somebody started up this whole calling Mindstar Mindy thing, and it became like, you know, oh Mindy, and it was like all in pink and bold and stuff, and it was like, now it's his new nickname, presumably. Yeah, it was good fun. Oh man.
Oh, that's so cute.
You missed out on that one. That was pretty entertaining overall. But yeah, so okay, well, that was Eve Meets.
So who would be Mork?
I think that was the question that actually came up in the thread. I can't recall who they named to become Mork now.
Who's the most alien-like at CCP?
Oh, man.
I tell you who I reckon.
Go for it.
Ryan Veneer.
Who?
The guy who does the Mog Army podcast. He works for CCP now?
Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about. Very interesting fellow.
Probably not from this planet, though, let's be fair.
There's a good possibility that yes, crash-landed here many years ago. Oh, man.
So now that we've got our accounts banned and probably quite a long way into the show for be doing this, how was your week, sir?
My week, well, it's been more than a week since we've put out a show, right? We've been kind of lax again.
I think the term is crap.
Yeah, well, I'll take lax. You take crap. it's been not too bad. Work's been pretty, well, more than normal, I guess, in terms of how much work I've been doing, but not too bad. Been trying to play as much as I possibly can, but. I've been doing a lot of domesticated mail type stuff around the house, cleaning up, getting things all organized and stuff. It's springtime, so I got to look to cleaning up my garage, which I found out a few days ago had mice in it during the wintertime, which is a blast. So yeah, I'll have to be pretty careful when I clean up my garage this year. Yeah, my car is in the shop as of today, getting the rear bumper fixed. This person who backed her car into mine. This is now about a month ago or something like that, so finally getting into the shop. And they gave me a Pontiac Grand Prix as a rental. Ugh, not a big fan of domestics, but yeah, geez, other than that, not much. How's your week been?
Well, I got attacked by bees.
Goon swarm came at you at the Eve meet?
No. Actually, there met some goons there. They're all very nice. No, these are actual bees.
I still say that goon swarm are involved somehow in this. Perhaps they smeared you with honey at the Eve meet, and I don't know. Bees came after you.
My mum and dad retired to the countryside about a year and a half ago, and my mum's gone slightly mad since she did that. But she's very happy being slightly mad. And one of her new hobbies is keeping bees. So, you know, we went and put a beehive. Well, she went and put a beehive in the back garden down the end and, you know, has been looking after it. And this weekend I was down visiting them, you know, being the good, dutiful son, and, you know, helped them, you know, with gardening and stuff. And, well, she did something with the beehive, like opened it after the winter or something. I don't know exactly what. And, you know, that pissed the bees off a lot. But then she didn't tell me about it. So I'm just wandering down the garden, happy as anything, and I get swarmed. Literally, like goons. And I got stung about 6 or 7 times in my neck, which is no fun at all. I got stung on the top of my head, so I've got a giant bump there. Like me, running back to the house, waving my coat around my head, trying to chase these bees away. Because they don't just sting you, they just sit in your ear and buzz really loudly to get rid of you. And boy, does that work once you get stuck.
What the hell, man? Where's your iPod? Now you get, like, goon swarmed by a bunch of bees. Literally, oh man. I'm just... Did you swell up at all? Because I'm just picturing you like Sloth from the Goonies or something, just like totally like.
It's not nice. My neck is actually still pretty swollen, so I've got a very stiff neck at the minute.
Oh man.
My voice might sound a little bit weird. It certainly sounded weird, you know, on Sunday when it happened.
Jeez. Are you okay, though? You're not, like, allergic to bees or anything, are you?
No, but I'm taking antihistamine to get the swelling down, because antihistamines make you tired.
Yes, they do.
trying to avoid dozing off at work, which was no help at all, because we're doing a site induction for a new site we're working on. So basically, you're just watching incredibly boring safety videos, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which, you know, fair enough, you know, they've got to get this stuff done to be insured and stuff, but.
Yeah, it's boring.
Not the most scintillating broadcast ever, you know?
But anyway, I think we've drifted enough.
Yeah, in-game news.
Indeed.
First up, well, let's start with the North for once, because we very rarely do that, don't we?
Yeah, North is usually, like, I don't know, some kind of afterthought, but yeah, I hear this has been getting kind of insane, like, lately. You know?
Well, it's always insane, isn't it?
Well, no, but action-wise, like, there's actually stuff going on up there, like, serious stuff. What's happening?
Insurgency, having already just grabbed Branch, are now taking on Razor and doing, well, very well in terms of systems.
How well?
4 or 5 they've got in the past week, which is good. In terms of ships killed, it's actually a bit more even, but Insurgency have the edge there, but it's reasonably even, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Sort of 60-40 time. But in terms of systems, it's all about Insurgency at the minute, and we like Insurgency.
It's good stuff.
So yeah, they are doing really quite nicely up there. Triumvirate are backing them up, you know, in case. Well, I don't really know what they're backing up in case, because they seem to be doing fairly well. So, but if Triumvirate go in there as well, like, you've got to kind of fear for Razor, haven't you?
Yeah, that might get a little bit nasty for them, I think.
Well, yeah, I think Mors Mihi might be affected now, just how interested they are in with all this. But, well, didn't you guys take on Razor? I mean, this is going back quite a long way now, and just completely own them.
Oh boy, that would be going back a while. If you're talking about the whole MC going up in the north and, like, going from left to right and just sweeping it, yeah, it was. Yeah, there was, like, pretty much anything that was up in the north at the time got hit pretty hard. As you can see, they're all back.
Yeah, well, it wasn't just everything in the north, but yeah, you took over Razor Space in a matter of days, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, I think that's about right. That was pretty, brutal, actually. Ooh.
So, anyway, well done to Razor for getting back on their feet, you know, despite getting thoroughly owned. But, well, does Insurgency have the manpower to, you know, hold that area of space? I would say, unless somebody big has joined them and I've missed it, I would say not. But on the other hand, there are competent PvPers. I mean, Cook 1 All-Stars, you know, I think we've mentioned them a couple of times. Yeah, I rate them as a PvP core.
Well, that's all well and good, but how's their capital strength going? Like, can they defend against a territory grab?
Are we talking Razor or are we talking Insurgency?
Insurgency.
I think they can. There's more to, like, defending than capital strength, if you know what I mean.
Oh, of course. Oh, totally, I totally agree. But it is a totally different kind of type of warfare than conventional PvP, right? So.
Yeah, it's different to small gang PvP. It's as usual all about the carries and the motherships, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
All forms of PvP seem to degenerate into that these days. That's rather depressing.
Actually, yeah, you're quite right on that.
Well, I still don't fly capitals, do you, at all?
Nope. I've got a lot of the prerequisites all done. It's just a matter of actually training up the main skills, but yeah, still subcapital. Still actually really enjoying subcapitals, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I flew a Moros for a bit, which is a dread. this goes back a long, long way.
Fairly specialized, though. You're not going to really see that unless you're pounding a POS or, you know, someone actually has locked down another capital ship and you got to beat the crap out of it.
Oh, it was an absolute pig for absolutely everything except for taking down bosses. We didn't really get any chance to shoot anything like a Titan while it was alive. Yeah, it was slow, it was ungainly, it cost an absolute fortune in ammo to run. But, as I said, when you went into siege mode, the damage you could put out to it made up for a lot of its failings. Let me tell you, and it tanked pretty nicely as well. But, yeah. Again, the other thing is it's an expensive toy, that, and for the type of game I really play these days, is not really, you know, the ideal ship for me.
Yeah, I think it does boil down to a lot of playstyle and sort of what you're looking to do in the game. For some people, that's the end game, is getting into caps. Not that I'm pissing on that at all. That's totally a valid goal if that's what you're interested in doing. I don't know.
Yeah, possibly for sensible people, it's getting into caps these days. Get into your Thanatos or get into your Nyx.
Yeah, and it does depend on also your corporate goals. I mean, like, if you're totally not into doing territorial stuff, it might not necessarily make sense to make a big push for capitals, right? So it really does depend on how your playstyle fits in with your corps. Whereas if you're in a corp that does a heavy amount of capital usage and stuff, that maybe it makes sense to train it up.
Oh, I know pirates who will quite happily drop carriers, and some which will even drop motherships. Just on things, just for the sheer ownsomeness of them at the minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rich pirates, I hasten to add. Not your run-of-the-mill pirates, but there are some, you know, with deep pockets.
Indeed.
Just a couple of other little points in the north, down in sort of Cloud Ring, which is sort of south of Triumvirate. 10th Legion have taken over some bits of space, probably from Unnatural Selection, people like that. Yeah, seem to be doing fairly nicely there. Fairly new alliance, but not having any problems. Oh yeah, and do you remember the Legion of XX Depth XX?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got some nice people providing me with a bit of information about them. Nothing to do with Angel.
I'm not surprised by that.
They're actually been off of Red Alliance. Quite a few Red Alliance founder members there. There's actually one of the founder corps of Red Alliance has recently joined it. And they're kind of trailblazers, really, for the main Red Fleet. Very rich, very capital heavy, very, very good.
Interesting. Let's keep an eye on them.
Well, kind of like, you know, dropping a raptor in a kitten's nest with some of these people up there in the north. I mean, don't be wrong, there's no real Muppets there, but... Well, Red have been doing fairly well, wouldn't you say? I mean, they've got their little sort of Zerglings hordes to charge forward in the goons, but for reasons fair or foul, and let's face it, they do have a reputation in the game, you know, they are very good at the capital battles, are the Reds.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, their reputation is, and I that they cheat, and I've seen things which make me suspicious.
Are you accusing them of something, Urban? My God. Oh, man.
Let's just say I've seen a lot more lag when Red come along than I normally do. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, well, I mean, well, weren't they the guys who sort of... No, not really pioneered. Well, these are the guys who pretty much pioneered the whole Logonsky thing, right?
I wouldn't say they pioneered it. People did that before them. They started pioneering that in really big groups, though. I've got to admit, but...
Yeah, I know.
Call that cheating, to be honest. That's such a standard part of the game for so many people now.
That's kind of sad. Like, I mean, not the act of doing it, but just the fact that it has become a standard part of the game. But that the act of logging on a fleet is like... I don't know. This seems kind of...
Takes a lot of organization to do it, and the bigger the fleet, it gets exponentially harder.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it just, I don't know. It just seems, I don't know. It seems a little strange.
It's a fairly standard tactic, though. I think we can agree on that. So I wouldn't call log on ski log off ski cheating.
I wouldn't call it cheating either. I'm just saying, like, yeah, tactics.
Maybe the game mechanics need to be looked at. I don't know quite what I'd do. I need to have a very, very long think about it. Maybe we could do this, like, some big discussion with Croven one day and some other clever people about
things. Oh, but then you're opening up a huge can of worms on the whole issue of logging off and avoiding PvP and all sorts of stuff like that. I mean, the second you get into that whole business, it'll just go crazy. So, I mean, I certainly don't want to open up that debate. To say that's a can of worms is an understatement.
Well, we can open up that debate one day, but not today, please.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, I'll just sip my coffee, which I made with my brand new French press.
Show off. Gourmet gamer. That's what you are.
That's good coffee.
Is it espresso or?
No, it's just, you know what a French press is, right?
I'm just Googling it.
It's almost like you're making coffee. Like,
that's what we call a cafetiere.
Oh, what?
Cafetiere. It's like a coffee pot with a plunger thing you push down.
Yeah. It's basically, you're almost like making it like you would make tea. In fact, they make versions of it for tea, which is funny because you could do tea with this. But at any rate, yeah. But it's really good.
I've got one of those. I call it cafetiere.
That sounds very frou-frou, but awesome stuff, though.
Coffee, it's like the fuel for geeks.
Indeed. But, I mean, you know, it should taste good, so I guess I've been kind of a coffee whore lately, but...
You ever been to ThinkGeek, you know, the website?
Of course.
They actually have a section there just called caffeine.
Mm-hmm. I have seen it. That's quite good. I don't know if they sell it there, but there's a small version, like a personal version of a French press, and it's like, it's made of plastic instead of glass and metal, of course, and it actually takes filters, because, you know, a typical French press has just a metal screen instead of a filter, but this one actually takes little paper filters. A buddy of mine at work has this. It's actually really kind of cool, so he can just bring, he's got a little pre-ground coffee, just dumps the thing in, pour some boiling water in, just done, cup of coffee, and it's amazing. And it's really tasty. But anyway, Warp Drive Active, Coffee Edition.
Okay, back to the south. Looks like the little Bobbits, well, they're going back into Quirius now and doing quite nicely. They seem to have picked IAC out of it. They're taking a big chunk out of Brotherhood of Steel. Razor, I would imagine, aren't going to be working very hard to defend their territory down there in Quirius, given what's happening up in the north. Vivictus, again, I don't rate their chances very much here, so I reckon that in the near future, Bob could actually have back Quirius.
Interesting. There's been a hefty amount of action in there over the last, week or so.
In Quirius? Oh, very much so, yes.
Yeah, so it seems to be an interesting little focal point for now. Be interesting to see what happens in there.
They seem to have slacked off against MC now. You seem to be fairly comfortable, you know, in your little period basis area.
You almost called it bias again, didn't you?
I did. You're fairly comfortable in your Tortuga land.
Yeah, Tortuga. Yeah, I mean, who knows how things are going to go.
The other big news in the south is Tyrex Thork, who was the leader of IAC and drove a load of people away. He's left the Alliance due to his corporation thieving. His corporation is Umbuta Cognita, what was it? It was some silly name in Latin.
Sounds about right.
UC, we'll call it. And Haychau, Haychou, from XMX Corp. He's the new leader of IAC.
It's a sneeze. Achoo! See?
Is that it?
That's my guess. That's my guess.
Okay, so hachu.
Hence Rod Blaine's first one that just says Gesundheit.
Yeah, I gotta say, very sharp, Rod. Good job, sir. I like Rod. You know, he's one of the more comical forum warriors. I haven't seen him in space for a long time, but then again, you don't get Bobbits in Curse these days. But anyway, yeah, so hachow. I like that sounds like a kung fu move there. Ha-chow! Mech Corp is the new leader of IAC. They've resetted standings with AAA.
Well, there's some measure of falling out between these two partners in crime.
Apparently so. Something to do with the Wyvern. Anyway, according to the Post, apparently Hachoo is a big, stupid Russian guy with a big stick and a bear pelt.
Okay.
As opposed to a strange Icelandic guy with a goat in a pink hat. Well, that is Tyrex, isn't he? He's kind of scrawny and got a weird goatee. And I know I should not criticize anybody for facial hair, but in Tyrex's case, I feel I can.
It's more the hat than anything else. I mean, come on, man. The hat's gotta go. I mean, I guess it's his thing, but meh.
Crimes against fashion apparently does not get you thrown out of the leadership of IAC, but crimes against, well, your corp nicking stuff does get you thrown out.
And losing a whole lot of really expensive ships.
To be fair, they were his personal ships, weren't they? So
I know, but it looks funny.
Just embarrassing, isn't it? Yeah.
Granted, you kind of got to give him the one thing that if he's out there in space, he's the first person that gets targeted no matter what. Doesn't matter what else is on the field. It's like everyone wants a Tyrex Kilmel.
Well, you do, don't you? I mean, apart from anything else, remember Tyrex Corpse? As we said, CCP, if you're listening to this, and we've got reason to suspect you are, ambulation Tyrex Corpse in a bear attacking pose with a pink hat on. Please.
Yep.
If you do that, I promise to pay subs till my dying day.
Or in rug form. A Tyrex rug. Tyrex skin rug. There you go.
Tyrex skin rug.
Complete with hat.
Mole skin rug?
Oh, man. Boots? I don't know. Well, anyway. Yeah, so...
Do you think I can wallpaper my wall with, like, goon skins?
I guess.
I've got quite a few goon corpses, I've got to say.
Yeah, they're somewhat of a commodity, I suppose.
So, yeah, CCP, as I said, in ambulation, I will gladly pay you money till my dying day if I can make decorations out of the corpses of my enemies. Or, in fact, in some cases, the corpses of my friends who I just happen to have.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, they need to do something with corpses and ambulation.
Anyway, back to Eve.
Yes, Eve. So, anyway, IEC, AAA, potentially falling out.
So how do you reckon the political situation will kick off from this? I would say CVA and IEC are not likely to go to war with each other.
They're pretty well intertwined together, space-wise. I mean, if things did go south between the two of them, so to speak, that would be an absolute mess. Like, wow.
Wouldn't it just?
The south would be on fire. But, yeah. I don't know how to really take this news. I mean, it's interesting. It certainly does add to the drama. Does it perhaps add an advantage to Bob, for instance, who might have an easier go at Aquarius and potentially other areas because now, IAC and AAA are kind of, thinking about other things?
Well, I don't know if they're at each other's throats yet, but I wouldn't say it's going to be too long, especially based on Hatcho's post.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, in general, though, does it give their common enemy a bit of an advantage then?
Yep, enemy of my enemy is my friend. And moving on to my home bit of space, which is Curse. Curse is mad, but it's generally not had any really big pushes. I mean, Kraftwerk do kind of their own thing. We hit them occasionally, but nothing much happens. UL have got a little outpost there, nothing expensive. But Tau Ceti seem to be bringing quite a lot of motherships into it. And, well, I don't think they're motherships, but quite a lot of Sinos are going off from those guys. So quite a lot of capitals are shifting around Curse, which is generally quite a good time to hide if you're me, my gang.
Or maybe it's just one capital and they're just moving it around a lot to make it look like they got a larger capital fleet than they actually do.
Haha, we will fool them.
Exactly. Look at all of our sinos. We're lit up like a Christmas tree.
No, we did have a mothership dropped on us, and it was a very much a sort of Monty Python style, run away, run away! Oh. Yeah, thankfully there was no dictors or anything like that, amateurs. So we kind of got out of there in a hurry and were able to get out of there, but it was quite concerning when that happened, shall we say?
Yeah, it's a fairly big threat. Let's just say that much. Fighters hurt a lot, a whole lot.
Especially, well, everybody knows I tend to fly a Dommy. I don't always fly it, but it's my battleship of choice, certainly. Fighters and Dommies, you know, this is only going to go one way.
Oh, hell, I've had... Oh, back in the day when they first started coming out with this stuff, I was curious what it was going to do against a battleship. So I'm like, I docked him at Megatron. I'm like, you know, told one of the... forget who it was, one of my fellow MC cohorts. I'm like, go ahead, stick your fighters on me. And he's like, all of them? I'm like, well, whatever you think is appropriate. So I think he put 5 onto me or something, and it was like, oh god, where'd my shields go? Oh shit, my armor.
I'm melting!
Yeah, like my armor, my god, stop. I'm like, reel him back! He's like, I'm trying. I'm like, son of a bitch. They're pretty painful.
I mean, with the drones, you are slightly better able to take out fighters than other battleships, but it doesn't make much difference if your hull's open to space in under a minute, really.
Yeah, that's a conservative estimate, depending on how you're tanked. It's pretty painful to be on the receiving end of the wrath of a mom, so, in more ways than one. So, yeah, I feel your pain on that one, but... Yeah, so
maybe if they start heading via Curse into IAC space, that could be a headache coming in that direction. Because remember, they do have a direct link to IAC space, and they can go through Curse without too much trouble. I mean, there's one fairly long jump there, which isn't really suitable. But, nah, it's not too bad, actually, looking at it.
You mean with capitals? Because, I mean, it's not like IAC's never had any kind of, you know... I'm sure they have the ability to take on capital ships too, so it wouldn't be
you smashed a lot of them when you guys were fighting.
Yeah, but I mean still, I mean it's like times have changed, now we got heavy interdictors and stuff, so you know, yikes.
Well anyway, so yeah, South is on fire in certain ways at the minute, and it's only going to get more fun.
Yes.
And I'm all worried every time I look to log in these days.
That someone's busted your safe spot?
Yes, we get somebody in something cheap to check it out first, and then we go and decide to log in. It might be a good time to trip back to Empire. The trouble is, I've got to do a load of ratting to get my sec rating up, so that I don't just get killed.
Speaking of Empire, actually, I made it back to Empire. Ooh, boy. That'd be a few days ago. I have had a clone down in Period Basis that was full of plus fours, and I was like, I might as well drag this thing back to Empire. I've been meaning to for a while, so hopped in my Helios and made a trip up north through Delve and into, where'd I go? I think I went through Aradia or something. Anyway, yeah, it was rather entertaining. It was all actually pretty calm until the last 5 or 6 jumps, and then it was like, holy crap, gate camps everywhere. You know, which is always amusing, sneaking past them in a cloaked ship.
Well, you are, I'm just thinking, you are in the right ship for that.
Yeah, it is possible to decloak a cloaked ship. The people who I was encountering, though, however, were not able to do this quite effectively. What was most amusing was the one actually going into Empire. I think it was a 1-S or something like that. Where they had the whole front side of the gate covered, like, solid. Ships, drones, everyone was sort of swirling about because they saw me come in. But the whole ass end of the thing was, like, bare open. So I just, like, did a nice long orbit around the gate, snuck in through the back. I'm like, dude, 3 dimensions of space.
Like, what do they think I was going to do? The backdoor bandit.
What do I think I was going to do? Like, I'm barreling in through a nest of drones? No. Anyway, made it back. Now I was back in Empire for a time, then I cloned back down, but... I hate Empire Space.
I'm going to call you Backdoor Bandit for a while now.
That'll get confusing, though. There is already a Backdoor Bandit in Eve.
Is there?
But it was like all of Finfleet. Anyways.
Stupid sidetrack here. That's enough.
Yeah. So one other interesting bit of news happened here on Friday the 11th, that rumors were circulating that a portion of the EVE source code was distributed on Pirate Bay. I don't know if you've heard of this, but that's kind of... Yeah, so apparently this was kind of nasty. CCP has kind of locked down the forums in a big way on this discussion, or somebody tried to post something about it today and probably got a hefty warning out of it, because apparently they're like threatening bans of people who are even discussing that this happened or something, but which is no big surprise. But I, you know, highly suggest people don't go searching for this stuff, but because, I mean, it's not too hard to... I guess there was rumors that people were monitoring the seeding on these sites to actually match IPs to logged in users and stuff. So, yeah, don't go snooping around for this. I honestly don't know what it's going to get you anyways. It's not like you'll be able to like hack the game or something, but yeah, anyway, I heard this was like a portion of the code got decompiled or something. Have no idea what bits, haven't looked for it myself, not going to bother. So just be careful with this one, but it was a rather interesting bit of news. That rumor was it was something about somebody trying to hold CCP up and saying, like, do this or else I'll release your source code, you know, fix these parts of the game or something like that. It was like, oh, you gotta be kidding. You know, like, it was kind of a mess, actually. So, I don't know, yeah, you didn't hear about this, did you?
I haven't actually heard about this at all. I must have missed it. I was at site a couple of days, so that's my excuse. This is not cool at all. This is not cool at all.
It is not cool. I mean, I'm not surprised you missed this, because it really hasn't been openly discussed anywhere on the EVO forums, so I guess it's one of the advantages of keeping an eye on Scrap Heap, just because they're able to, since they're, you know, not under the, you know, forum rules, guidelines, you know, EULA, all that other stuff, they can basically post whatever they want. But, yeah, apparently this is legit. It's pretty crazy. I don't think... I would imagine this is, like, nowhere near anything that would cause any kind of compromise to the game or anything like that, but still, pretty crappy, really, for someone to do, to, like, you know... rumors, of course, this was being held over their head and also their jazz, you know, do this or I release your source code, blah, 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 who knows. It's just...
We don't know if this is the only bit he's got. As I understand it with the EVE client, based on what CCP have said, right, and I'm not stating for a minute that I know this for a fact, because obviously I'm not part of CCP, I've never seen the source code, right?
Indeed.
But the actual EVE client, in terms of the EVE client, is pretty bloody stupid. All it is it shows the graphics, and it sends messages to the server, ooh, he's fired his laser at this point.
Anything of any real importance happens on the server to prevent anything really nasty from happening, like someone being able to, like, you know, hack the client, make it do funny things. It's all sort of just communication and display purposes, really. That's all the client is. I mean, it's, you're not seeing, you know, major things like whether or not you're hitting guys, for instance, or how much you're damaging them for, happening on the client side. Idiotic.
But on the other hand, you might be able to cause lag using a hacked client that way.
How so?
If you're just sending loads of crap, you know what I mean? If you work out what it's sending, you start sending much, much more crap.
That's no different than ping flooding the servers, which isn't hard to do. Like, honestly, if you know where the servers, where the IPs are and stuff, there's no difference. And the result will still be the same. Someone over there is going to see it and do something to you rather painful.
So, assuming here that this is the client code and not the server code, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference. And frankly, even if it is the server code, the only people this will be of any interest to, really, are other major game companies. You know, CCP server technology is miles ahead of everybody else's, so I imagine they would be quite interested in it. But, you know, you couldn't run your own version of Tranquility. It would just suck. You need a lot of computing power.
It'd be boring, and you might as well just go buy X Beyond the Frontier. Because it'd just be you. I mean, from what I heard, this is just client source anyway, so it's nothing for anyone to go in a big panic over. But still, pretty uncool overall. Interesting that it happened. Not really going to make the front page of the New York Times or anything like that, you know, but yeah, kind of interesting news anyways that happened. It's definitely something I think a lot of people might have missed on because it really wasn't really reported on the Eve forums at all, so interesting. But no shortage of drama in the Eve universe.
If you're tempted and you know where to find this code, just don't do it. It's not going to give you anything of interest, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
And not just that, though. It could get you banned from the game. People have been claiming that because they're seeding it on the torrent, CCP have matched the IPs and are banning them. I think that's technically feasible, but I don't know if that's actually happened.
Yeah, and I don't think we'll ever get a clear answer on that from anybody of any real importance, but just something we felt was probably worth notifying people about, but it's nothing major. Don't go looking for it.
For the guy who did this, this is seriously, seriously not cool. Your actions are disgusting.
Hi, this is Urban again. This is just a little amendment, which I'm doing right at the time of finishing editing, basically, because when we recorded that, it obviously hadn't become huge and all over the internet like it has done now. It's bloody everywhere. It's on Slashdot. It's on Eurogamer. So I think it's time to get this story up to date. Firstly, pretty much everything we said in the podcast was right. Secondly, CCP through Wrangler has released the following statement. He says, "We're aware that an individual claims to have access to the source code for the Eve Cloud, but this access is not a security risk to CCP or our customers in any way. The Python scripting language that is used in the client can be easily decompiled to generate readable code, and we have designed our server-side systems with that understanding. Therefore, we have no reason to believe that the code was leaked by an employee, and our internal investigations confirm that." Wrangler goes on, "Access to the source code for the Eve client exposes no security vulnerabilities, has no privacy protection issues, and poses no threat to our customers' billing information. The server-side interface used by the client is carefully protected to ensure that no abusive or unwarranted information is transferred into or out of the Eve system. Nothing the Eve client can do can affect the game state. A manipulated Eve client cannot affect the server, and no advantageous or disadvantageous information can be transmitted over to other Eve users by altering the Eve client. The Eve client is signed with a security certificate registered to CCP. Hashes are available for our website for those who want to ensure the integrity of the Eve client downloaded files, should they have received them from a source other than a direct download from the CCP website. Finally, we want to point out that there's been no mass bannings as reported in some news articles, although we do remove all messages on our message boards regarding violations of our terms of service and our EULA, end user license agreement, as per standard policy and procedures. We consider any alterations to the client software, including decompilation or discussion thereof, to represent such a violation." So, again, I think that, well, in rather awkward language and even more awkward urban reading, that kind of covers it, really. Storm in a teacup, basically, is my position with this now. No big deal at all. Apparently, the actual files which you can download were about 2 meg. Even the classic clients, over 600 meg. Although, yeah, I realise there's a lot of graphics and a lot of UI stuff, which wouldn't necessarily appear, but, you know, 2 meg of client code is not going to tell you a whole lot if that's what you're really after. End of the day, chaps, storm in a teacup, nothing much to worry about here, but God, look at the tinfoil hattery. Now back to the normal show. Okay, discussion point this week. Apparently we've got to keep the Hoff out of Eve, we've got to keep the Hoffmeister out of Eve, according to CCP Ginger, who's been posting a lot of late.
Yes, indeed, which is a good thing, because a lot of people have actually been complaining about the lack of dev blogs. I think there's actually been a lot more here, you know, lately than some other times.
Notice people have not been complaining about the lack of David Hasselhoff.
No, I don't think anyone's complaining about that. But yeah, apparently the Keeping the Hoff Out of Eve blog is about the Evelopedia, which is CCP's, official Wikipedia? You know what? Documentation is amazing, isn't it?
It is, like words and stuff. Can I just make a point here? I think we've got a little clue that CCP, especially Ginger, might listen to our show, because not only did we rickroll all our listener base, he rickrolled everybody on his dev blog who was stupid enough to click a link, which was actually linked to rickroll. And there we go, there's Rick dancing away, happily. Have you actually ever seen the rickroll video all the way through, by the way?
Ugh, no.
Have you ever done that? No, there's like the least cool black guy in the universe.
Oh man,
hey, seriously, he's worse than Dwayne Dibley. He is the least cool black guy who ever lived, dancing away in that video. I mean, he's not as uncool as Rick, obviously.
I know, I'm about to say, at the very least, he's about 50 billion times cooler than Rick, even if he is the least cool black dude in the whole universe.
Ginger, however, is... Well, we know his cares, Ginger, but that's about all we know about him. Do we think he's cool just at the minute?
Yeah, because he's formed YAR, the ULI Archives and Record Repository team. So YART.
Best name ever. Well, not, yes, the actual acronym should be YART.
Yes, exactly. YART. Yeah, so pretty cool stuff. These are the guys sort of as the, I guess, internal admin group. For this Evilopedia project, which is pretty awesome. And this has been a long time coming. My God, it's well over a year at least, right?
Well, they advertised for a wiki editor as a job. Oh, well, this goes back ages and ages. Like, summer 2006? That kind of time frame.
Yeah, it's been a while. So this is cool that they actually seem to be actually moving on it. And it looks like they're recruiting, looking for some people to help administer this Evilopedia. So presumably this is an excellent opportunity for people in the community to step up and help out a little bit, which is always a good thing. So, I mean, if you got any experience doing anything with Wikipedia, and I know there's a bunch of people out there who do, you know who you are. Yeah,
one.
Well, I mean, he's got...
I am a Wikipedia addict, I must admit.
It's pretty awesome stuff. I mean, they've provided an email address for people to click on and send a note out to, which is YARR at isd.evonline.com. And I guess we'll link to the dev blog itself, and you can see the address there. And if you're interested in this, this might be a really cool path for you to take.
The idea of an EVE wiki, I mean, there's several out there, but yeah, the EVE history wiki done by Ratio is probably my favorite of them all.
That one's good, but there's the general purpose wikis. There is an EVE wiki, but it's not usually kept up very well. Like, I was kind of hoping for more from a community effort. I mean, like, in terms of people actually like actively using it, submitting stuff, you know, creating content, but it just hasn't happened. But it is cool that now we have more of an official thing happening, because then we can get some quality control from CCP on content people are submitting, which is excellent.
Yeah, so you don't get people editing it, you know, say, yeah, fit a load of lasers onto your Ibis.
Yeah, exactly.
Goodstorm have got a good wiki, if you ever go to that one. Well, there's some public bits, which are pretty good, actually. It's, like, got lots of nice, useful information about your first days in EVE. There's some private bits there, which I'm told are also very good. So anyway, if you would like to help out editing the EVE wiki, and, you know, personally I would if I had more time, but, you know, hey, I don't. But if I had more time, I would definitely be up for doing this. Send off your application, or for more information, send some information to YARR at isd.eve-online.com. And they will reply with an application to you, apparently.
You know that I already gave the email address out, right?
Get bonus marks repeating.
Duplication of effort for the win. Yeah, it's good stuff. Hopefully, this means that we'll see some results on this soon. TM.
Oh, great minds think alike.
Indeed. Excellent stuff.
But, seriously, Ginger, though. Yeah, we want to get your acronyms right there, so rename your department to YART.
We're nitpicking and falling away from things here, so... anyway,
no, we never do that. We never do that.
Yes, of course. Anyway.
Oh, another very quick dev blog from GM Grimmy. Just wants to remind us that real money trading is naughty. Don't bloody do it.
Yes, and there's some fairly detailed information on there as to ways which you can legitimately buy and sell ISK in EVE, involving, of course, game time cards. Again, they have to do this every once in a while to remind everyone that what they're doing is bad, bad, bad.
And John Smedley went and posted about this a while back. John Smedley, if you don't know, is the big boss of Sony Online Entertainment. And he said, you know, for the Sony games, and I imagine this is very similar for CCP, you know, it is an absolute nightmare, these real money sellers, because a lot of them use fraudulent credit cards to set up the account, game accounts in the first instance, which causes them massive problems, you know, in terms that they, you know, people just, if they get defrauded, it's the company at the end which, you know, loses money. So they lose money, and they also become more of a credit risk. So it costs more for people to actually process credit card details, and there's all sorts of nightmares connected with it. It's a very good post, actually, by John Smedley. I will link to it in the show notes. But, yeah, real money trading, apart from through the official method, is very, very out of order. You will be spanked very hard by the CCP paddle if you do this. Quite possibly get banned. So, you know, don't even think about it. If you have to do currency trading, do it through the official way, which is by Game Time card resellers. And there is going to a link in this dev blog where it tells you where the official ones are. Don't choose any others, because if you get scammed, you've got absolutely no comeback.
And I have to tell you, it never gets old going on general discussions and reading threads of people who are completely beside themselves that a GM dared to log on and put them into like negative 500 million ISK, and they're just going berserk. How do I get out of this? Why did they do that? They took my ISK. And it's so funny. Because that's what happens.
That's what happens the first time you do that. I think if you keep doing it, you get banned.
It's not just yourself. It's the fact that if you are even doing market transactions with someone who has bought and sold ISK, that comes out, like that ISK goes away, and if it's in your wallet, it's gone. So sell something to somebody who has bought and sold ISK, and that ISK can disappear.
There's, of course, another side to this, which is a lot of these ISK farming places are literally sweatshops in China.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not just a Chinese issue, right? But
no, it's not just a Chinese issue, but I think, you know, as citizens of the world, we should really be unhappy about the idea of sweatshops for anything. You know, when you're supporting an industry like that by buying money, you know, it's not cool.
True. I'd like to think that there are more, I guess we should probably avoid waxing political on here, but I think there's more pressing issues, in terms of China than whether or not they're buying and selling ISK. You know, that's just my opinion.
I would agree with you there, but let's not wax political too much about that. As far as
Tibet. Oh, you missed it. Anyway.
I got that. As far as we will wax political on that, though, we will wax political and say sweatshops are wrong, okay?
Yes.
And so, yeah, do not support that particular industry. If you have to use real currency to get ISK in-game, use one of the approved Game Time card resellers.
Yes.
That's it.
They are confirmed to not be tainted with lead. Moving along.
Or cholera.
Yes. Ah, yes. Cholera. It's been a while since we've had a good cholera outbreak. Yes, just buy and sell ISK illegally. You'll get cholera. Okay, so what else we got going on? Patch 1.2? Patch 1.2 is coming out, dude.
Where? I haven't seen the show. Crap. I haven't seen the patch notes on that.
You what? I mean,
that's out on the 15th, which means it will actually probably be out by the time we get the show out.
Yeah, because I mean, it'll be 3 days after that by the time people actually get a chance to listen to the podcast, right?
Yeah, so this will actually be out. Oops.
Yeah, interesting. They're doing some upgrades to Stackless Python, which has been a long time coming, from what I've heard. You know, nothing too serious. what's noticeably missing on here is the whole issue of overview stuff. It's just, you know, they take the XY coordinates of your overview and add or subtract some random number.
And it's even worse for me because I don't have that big a screen here. So crazy stuff happens and they're like, where did that just go?
I found that you can actually get it back by doing Alt-Enter and coming in and out of full screen and windowed mode. Like if you, it'll reset the window position so they're actually in line with, you know, your windows. But it's still all on top of each other and, you know, if this happens in combat, you're messed. I mean, like, you know, you undock and your overview's like flown off the screen. It's kind of silly. The top end of my overview list is so high off the top of my monitor that I don't see any shifts to click on and do anything. Right? So okay. it doesn't do me any good to say, oh yeah, so all I need to do is F1, F2, F3, that's fine. But, you know, now I have to click on stuff in space, and God help if I've got the wrong brackets set up or something, right? They're not even going to be visible. So, yeah, yucky. So somehow this is missing. I don't know whether or not that's because they're trying to surprise us or what.
Well, there is a user interface here towards the bottom. It goes, the jump tab in the capital navigation tool should be working for characters that are not in alliance.
That's not related.
Not related. Grammatical error? What?
Grammatical error.
Card should no longer... Okay, what?
Yeah, there's nothing in... Trust me, people have been through this word for word. There's nothing in here about it. So hopefully they've snuck this in. Hopefully there's something in here that they've managed to fix this issue, because that would be pretty... I would say it'd be pretty sad if this lasted a patch like this. Like a 1.2 patch, like we're talking, you know, like that's not technically a small one. And this is an issue. A big issue. I mean, it's a pretty substantial UI bug. It needs to be fixed. So hopefully they get that done. There was some stuff with junk in space cleanup that's happening this time as well. So they're... You know, basically anchor containers that haven't been touched in 30 days are going to start to be cleaned up.
About time.
Yeah. So, if you got an anchor container somewhere, go look in it once in a while. Because they'll be disappearing in 30 days if you don't. And I don't think you get a warning for it. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure they're not going to warn you about it. They'll just disappear.
I can imagine some people just be spammed with like a million messages, though.
Those poor guys who do can art. You know, I wonder whatever happened with the cemetery stuff, because there's, you know, there's that Eve cemetery, right, which is made out of secure containers and stuff.
With corpses inside.
Yeah, and there was the one fellow that was doing that. I have no idea whatever happened with that, because that was a fairly big thing at the time they announced this. People were complaining about this, that it would screw the cemetery up. I don't know. I haven't seen it, actually. I should really make a trip out and see it before they start removing the cans. Maybe the guys close it up. Who knows? Bird.
Okay, moving on to the homework assignment now. Last week you picked Life Force, full of a very, very naked young lady, and she was naked for an awful lot of the movie.
Did you check it out? Because I heard from... Who did I hear from? Alien Hand. Remember? Music guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, posted on my blog, winterblink.com, some thoughts on the movie, which were quite amusing. What did he say? Watched the movie, as you said in the podcast. Movie turned out nicely, even if the theme sci-fi vampire zombie was weirdly put together. Yes, I agree. It's part of the charm. But he says they managed to not make it lame. Said the effects were typical 85 style, similar effects to, he says, He-Man, and even Star Wars. And yes, the naked woman is beautiful. She is indeed. What did you think of it then? Did you actually get a chance to check it out?
Yeah, I would agree all those points there, to be honest, actually. Yeah, she is very beautiful and very naked. Patrick Stewart is not naked, which I know a load of Picard fans are going to be very disappointed about.
Oh, that's nasty. But yeah.
It's true, though. It's true.
Sorry, all Picard fans. No naked Jean-Luc. But yeah, you have to admit, I mean, it was an interesting premise. They take some artistic liberties with science across the board.
Well, you know, apart from 2001, name a film which doesn't.
Yeah. Well, even then, do you see us, like, digging up stuff on the moon?
Well, they've got the timeline a bit wrong, but, you know, in terms of the actual physics, it's all spot on.
Hell, in 2 years' time, we should be having a second manned mission to Jupiter. But no. which is interesting, actually. Have you seen Amazon Women from the Moon?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen is the start of that film, and they've got the black guy just coming into his house, and he ends up just so many things go wrong from just wonderful slapstick. And
that's Arsenio Hall. That's Arsenio Hall that's actually doing that
just,
bit.
I don't know who it is, but just the way he does the slapstick acting for that is absolutely brilliant. It's so funny. Just the way he does it is brilliant. What can I say? Genius.
Yeah, for those who don't know what we're talking about, this really very quickly, it's a late 80s movie called Amazon Women on the Moon, and it's basically like you're watching some super late night community channel that's trying to play this horrible 50s science fiction movie, which is a total parody of science fiction movies from the 50s. But they keep screwing up, the film starts, wrecking or something, and they have to cut out to all these, like, stupid little skits, like, or some, like, infomercial or some bit of another TV show. And it's really good. It's a massive ensemble piece. There's a ton of comedians from the 80s in there. Definite must rent at least. The bit that's relevant is that to what we were talking about before was the bit when they were about to launch the rocket to go to the moon, and the president of the United States comes on and he goes, I'd like to congratulate you on this first manned mission to the moon in this year 1980. It was just, because they did that back in the 50s in the science fiction movies, where they're theorizing that, all this stuff will be happening in, like, 1980 and things like that. It just, didn't quite happen out that way.
No, but that film does have another very naked, very beautiful woman in it.
Oh?
Yeah, don't you remember? It's the one when they channel hop to, the Playboy channel, and there's just this woman just walking out. Do you remember?
It was the pet house skit. Yeah,
it's just like going to church, and all she's wearing is a church hat and stuff.
That was good stuff. But anyway,
in my younger days, that was certainly one of the favorite films, that scene alone.
It's really good. Or the dude who goes to, that one really good skit where that dude goes to go rent a movie. And the guy behind the counter is like, hey, you want to see something really cool? And he's like, what's your name? It's like, guy's like, Ray. And he pulls up, like, his personalized porno just for guys named Ray. Oh, God, that was terrible. But
Or the guy who goes and goes to buy a condom and, like, and the chemist there goes a thousand bite. The 10 millionth guy to buy this condom and, like,
What did you just do? Did you just knock over a bunch of alcohol bottles or something?
I knocked over an empty glass.
All right. At least it wasn't iced tea like mine did. Anyway.
But, a guy goes to, like, the chemist store to buy a condom, and, like, there's, like, he's a millionth customer, and there's people cheering, and a marching band going past, and a giant guy in a condom costume waving, and yet the entire town is out there cheering.
Well, the best part was, it was, like, his first time or something, and he was trying to be really, really subtle about it.
Oh, yes.
The guy behind the counter was, like, the dude who, like, has known him since he was a baby and everything. That was brilliant. Anyway, awesome movie. Check it out.
Actually have changed my mind for my homework assignment. Amazon Woman from the Moon is my homework assignment for this week.
Yeah, that's a good choice. Yeah, now I'm going to have to go, like, try and get a hold of that.
On the Amazon Women on the Moon page on IMDb, on plot keywords, the first section is female nudity.
And then, it's all about priorities.
And then it's got car falling off cliff, Loch Ness monster.
Oh, that was from the bullshit or not skit. That was good. Oh, classic stuff. Good choice. I'm happy I mentioned it then. Oh, man.
Let's just see if I can Amazon this right now.
Ironically enough.
Oh, Amazon food on Amazon.
Oh, man. Watch, you'll end up being the millionth customer or something, and they'll put your face up on the front page of Amazon.com. His product purchase was...
scare off their entire customer base.
Oh, yeah.
It's not there.
Oh, man. Is it not? What's this?
There's a book called Full Woman, Fleshy Apple, Hot Moon, Selected Poems of Pablo Neruda. I don't think I will be buying that one instead.
I think that might be subpar to Amazon Women on the Moon. Try Amazon.com. Maybe you'll end up paying overseas shipping or something sick like that. But hey, it's your money, so I don't care about spending it.
Right, how kind, sir. How kind.
I try.
Oh, good. Actually, play.co.uk has actually got this. $4.99 free delivery. You cannot complain about that. That's just been bought. The play.com in the UK, you can get that.
That's ridiculous value. Oh, man. And you know what will happen is you watch this now and you'll see all these people and you'll be like, oh, my God. It's like all these people who went on to be something and all those other people who didn't. But yeah, so that's all you end up doing, was just working. That kind of blows.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, back to work. Yeah, so what have you been playing this week?
Oddly enough, I ended up getting into Rock Band. This buddy of mine...
Oh, you didn't.
Seriously, this buddy of mine had it for a while, and he was itching to get somebody to come over and play it with him. So I went over and was messing around with the drums and stuff. But, God, that was fun, actually. It's a hell of a lot of fun, especially when you actually have someone there with you. But we were playing online as well, just over PlayStation Network. We both have it for the PS3. But, yeah, it's actually really good. of course, you can make your rocker to be whatever you want it to be and play through the songs. It's pretty addictive. Music overall is pretty good. Like the choice of songs in that particular one is quite excellent. It was funny seeing how my buddy made his character compared to mine. He made this... I always bug him that he made this character. It looks like it belongs on the cover of a Harlequin romance novel. It's like this dude with a flowing mane of hair, and his shirt's like unbuttoned all the way down to the bottom, and it's got this whole bare chest thing. And going, I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
New romantic.
And then, but then I made this whole like Suicide Girls thing tried to figure out a way to slut up my lead guitarist as much as I possibly could. Which worked out pretty well. So it was funny when we were actually playing online, my buddy would like screw up his songs and be like, you were too busy staring at the butt of my avatar, weren't you? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, that's kind of disgusting. But yeah, it's a Rock Band. Ton of fun.
It's kind of wrong, that, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? But I guess it's no different than making a female avatar in the game and being a dude, I suppose. But anyway, not that I do that. So finished Ratchet and Clank finally on the PlayStation 3, which is an awesome game. So I've been having a lot of fun with that. Basically finishing off a bunch of the games that I've had for a while. Like now I'm working off trying to finish Assassin's Creed, and then of course, I think probably the reason I'm doing this is because I know Grand Theft Auto is coming out soon, and that'll pretty much annihilate any and all console gaming that I was doing, because that's going to be awesome. But yeah, that's it.
Okay. Time for community news.
Yeah, first up, I think we talked about this a little bit briefly, the Eon Awards.
Yeah. The Eon Awards were great fun. It's good party. I didn't hear who won too many of them. Cribber won quite a few and well-deserved. Verone won quite a few and also well-deserved. But congratulations to everybody who won some stuff.
Indeed.
Actually, the awards are pretty cool. They were like little glass laser-etched stands, really, if you know the kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, they got, there's like a little pod inside of it, right, or something like that.
I didn't get to see one up close, I must admit, but yeah, little laser edge glass crystally thing.
That's pretty awesome.
To use a technical term, though.
Yes, thingy. Always a good technical term.
So, if you didn't make it to the Eon party, and I'm looking at you, Imperious Blackheart, make sure you're at the next one, because it's very, very cool.
Did you not make it? I thought he lives in London.
I don't know where he lives, actually. He lives in Birmingham, but no, I didn't see him there. Although that's not necessarily guarantee he wasn't there, because you know Vegeta. I went to him, dude, you missed a really great party in London. He's like, did I? I was there. Don't you remember? We shook hands and chatted for a bit. It's like, was I that drunk?
Jesus, dude.
I don't remember that at all, but maybe it happened, or maybe I'm just getting old.
Man, you got a bad habit of doing that. Oh, man. Well, let's, at least you had fun, I guess. That's the main thing.
I didn't make any enemies this time. I don't think.
Well, that's a good thing.
Make the change.
No war decks, no more bounty on your head. Good stuff all around. Oh, God. Sorry. A few days ago, my friend gave me 12 billion ISK. I used it to buy 2 jump freighters. Today, I log in and have negative 12 billion ISK. What can I do? Oh, I love it. Your tears nourish me. Oh, man. Anyway.
12 billion ISK is a lot of real-life cash.
Tough, I guess.
Okay, moving on, we've got Megathron.com. Now, you pointed me at this, didn't you?
Yes, a gentleman by the name of Wolfenhex has been posting about this occasionally on the general discussions.
He sounds like a wrestler, doesn't he? And in the red corner, you know him as one of your own, Wolfenhex!
I'm betting that he's not a wrestler, but he does have kind of a harsh-sounding name. But, nice guy overall.
Wrestlers don't really set up social networking sites, do they? They're not really known for that.
Indeed. And that is exactly what Megathron is trying to be. It is, I think that the intent behind it is that he's trying to make kind of like almost like a Facebook, I guess, but for EVE players. Obviously with EVE-centric features and stuff like that. So, I mean, to start off, I mean, it's obviously still in a beta, so people signing up are, you know, there's not a whole lot available there yet. So I think he's basically putting in feature by feature stuff like, you know, groups, for instance, of adding yourself to a particular region or constellation or something that you might be affiliated with, or, you know, alliance, and making either of those public to people. So, yeah, interesting so far. I haven't had a chance to play with it myself, but I've been sort of tootling around on the site. Again, totally in beta. I think he's just looking for people to kind of chuck ideas at him at this point and see where people want him to take us. Might be pretty cool.
Yeah, could end up pretty cool. So if you want to have a look at it, it's megathron.com. It's fairly small to begin with, but aren't most things. But, you know, give it time and it may turn into something really epic.
Oh, Urban.
Are your dirty mind kicking in?
Oh, Urban. Urban.
Is your dirty, dirty, dirty mind kicking in there?
Hey, I'm not the one making sexual connotations all over this podcast. I mean, oh my god. When you edit this together, you'll hear what I mean. So anyway, megathron.com, give it a try. Give them some suggestions, too. There's some threads floating around on general discussion. We'll probably have a hell of a time tracking these down now because they're kind of floating around pages at this point. But if you can check it out, or just drop Wolfenhex a note, you know, by email, I'm sure he won't be opposed to that. And you know, give him some pointers on what you think this thing should be. Another little interesting bit of community-ish news is that I've been in communications with some people who are over at Insurgency FM, and they will probably with this podcast be broadcasting our podcast actually on Insurgency FM. Typically, they have some random playlists and the odd DJ kicks in every once in a while. Basically, just streaming music, I think, primarily to this. Up to this point, it's been mostly for Insurgency, but you know, for the members, they're going to be streaming out our podcast. So, hello to them.
Hello.
Indeed.
Thanks for syndicating our show. Very kind of you, actually. Hope we don't bring the standard of the station down too far.
Yeah, indeed. And hopefully the whole of EVE doesn't fall upon your server like a wave of death. Because I don't know how much bandwidth these guys have, but
well, to be honest, though, they'd probably run a mile if they've heard us recommending it, if they've got any sense at all.
Yeah, the stream will be down. No, so yeah.
Yeah,
anyway, hello,
CFM. Sorry for putting the kiss of death onto you with our incompetence.
Indeed. But yeah, just a shout out to you guys. Very cool. It's been very neat talking to you guys here in the last week or so, getting this all organized. So.
What are cool guys in the Surgency? I mean, I don't live in the north, but you know, I like those guys a lot, I've got to say. I like a lot of people in the north, but there's a large collection of coolness in Insurgency, wouldn't you agree? They've kind of concentrated a lot of coolness in that alliance.
Yeah, a lot of the people I've dealt with just personally have been very, very good people. So, yeah, excellent stuff. Anyway, just wanted to do a quick shout-out to them, and welcome to the family.
And thank you very, very much for playing our little podcast. Very kind of you guys.
Yes, indeedy.
Well, this show's been going on for long enough now, hasn't it, really? So anyway, thank you very much for listening, everybody. Sorry we took so long to get another show out, but hey, we suck, you know that.
we try our best to not suck, but fail miserably at it.
we are failures when it comes to not sucking. Sorry.
No, I mean it has been a pretty busy time for both of us, and which is very, very typical of IT, so yeah. And again,
the good news is, of course, though, we're not the only podcast anymore, because you've got the excellent Drone Bay by Croven and Crazy Canucks and Al Cedric. And you're
for the Horde!
For the Horde! Yeah, if you haven't heard their April the 1st one, I think that's Drone Bay Episode 5, check that out. That is so, so funny. I nearly fell off my bike laughing at it on the way to work.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
It's the way they were going. And of course, Blizzard has got this reputation for working so well with the community.
Yeah, yeah.
That bit ideally fell off my bike.
Yeah, so well. And yeah, that was an excellent podcast. As well as Warp Drive Active Industry. Very good stuff happening over there.
Of course, they should have episode 4 out in the next few days, I believe. So they've got 3 episodes now up on Virgin Worlds. So, are they on iTunes yet? Please tell me they're on iTunes.
I don't know, but it is a fairly new thing that they got on Virgin Worlds, and they did swarm it with getting all their episodes in one after the other. Like, the whole like podcast list was like nothing but Warp Drive Active Industry. Which is good. It's a good thing, though, that they're on there finally, so now it gives people a nice unified place to go and get their fix.
Yep, and as always, make sure you check out Virgin Worlds itself, the podcast Brent does. He's doing a load of mini-casts this week, which is very cool.
Oh, coolio.
Yep, so that's all excellent. Oh, and Gax. Join our Gax group. We are kicking ass and taking names in this whole group size thing. We are up to 235 members. We're a little bit behind Eve on 238. But hey, that's pretty cool. Definitely check out Gax. Lots and lots of cool stuff on it. There's the I'm a Jedi Biatch group.
Oh, man. Those pesky Trekkies. Yes, that was intentional. Anyways, we've been at this long enough. Let's go.
Yeah, bed for me. Before we go, just a little information on our lead-out tune this week. This is by a band called Screw Loose. They're an unsigned band. They've just actually appeared on iTunes. If you like their stuff, go and check out the rest of it. Links in the show notes. But that is all we got time for. See you next week, guys.
Bye.
Do it properly.
All right. Fly, Safefish.
Are you in control? Or has the drink taken its toll? Is there more to this? When we scratch the surface, a force we'll never know. Breathe if you want to, but is it your choice? Are we part of the system? And is there any way we can show some resistance? Meditate, an easy kill. Manipulate.